You see, so often in life, you'll meet people, and they'll tell everybody what their dream is. But when push comes to shove, are they really invested in going through struggle? Because if you see a documentary on anybody great in the world, you know the other quality they all have, they push through the pain. Not only that, and here's a great tool to walk away with. If we have the expectations that life is going to be painful, then we are motivated to accomplish.
So the question is this: how do thought leaders, school dropouts, former and current students find out what's next after they do or don't cross that stage? If you want to know the secrets to starting the career or business of your dreams, getting paid whatever you desire, and discovering what you do the best with the least amount of effort, then this is the right podcast for you. I'm Sean Anthony, and this is School's Over, Now What? The podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. I am your host, Sean Anthony. Listen, fam, you could have been anywhere in the world, but in the words of my guy, Jay-Z, he said it best, right? You're here with me, fam, and I appreciate that. And here's the thing about this podcast. You're probably wondering right now, if this is your very first time clicking that button, what's this show all about? Each and every single week, we continue to bring you an inspiring person or a message that's truly going to help you take your career or your business to the next level. But here's the thing. The most important thing about this show is everybody has answered the question we have all asked ourselves at some point in our lives. And that school's over, now what, right? What do we do? And because you guys listening to this show, it's continued to be a top show on Apple and across all other podcast platforms. If you know anything about me, you already know, fam, how I like to kick this thing off. And that is with the review of the week. This week's review of the week comes from Christina. And she wrote, super dope. So much of discovering our gift and being confident enough to walk in it is driven by our mindset. And the mindset can get a little weary when life gets complicated. This podcast is a dope reminder to reach a little deeper and keep going, all while keeping us encouraged. Thanks, Sean. Listen, Christina, I appreciate you. And perhaps, you know, you might have listened to this podcast before and you guys have never, you know, left a review. It's helped us do so much. All I'm going to ask for you to do right now, if you've ever been encouraged by this show, gained any wisdom from this show, perhaps made money by listening to the show, is scroll to the bottom of your screen. If you're listening to this right now on Apple, click that 5-star rating and leave that review. It has continued to help us do amazing things. With that being said, here's a quick word from our sponsors. Hey, what's up, fam? You know, building a podcast has been one of the most amazing things I've ever done. It's put me in rooms I could not even believe. But here's the crazy thing. It could be one of the easiest things for you to do. And right now, I want you to have access and learning how you can have your message spread and reach multiple people across the globe. For right now, you can download my free ebook, The Podcast Starter Kit, giving you all the tools you need to start, plan, launch, and grow your podcast today. Just check out The Podcast Starter Kit by clicking the link and downloading your free ebook in the show notes below. This episode is brought to you by patreon.com/schoolsovernowwhat. For as low as $5, you can help us reach more people, tour schools, and even impact communities. You also get exclusive content that nobody else can see and be able to go possibly one-on-one with some of our most amazing guests. Visit patreon.com/schoolsovernowwhat and become a Patreon today. All right, let's get into the reason you click that button and listen, we back with something spectacular, something special. You know, it's always important to show so many different careers and avenues you can take yourself. But this next guest, when you talk about storytelling and his role in what he does, it gets no better than this. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is Saul Blinkoff. He is a host, a director, a producer for Disney, DreamWorks. You know, perhaps you probably watched some of your favorite childhood films, and he was behind them, like Pocahontas and many more. He's also a global keynote speaker. He's a husband, father of four. I hope you guys enjoy this episode, because this is going to be one that is going to truly tap into your storytelling capabilities, but most importantly, why you do what you do and how to do it with the message. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 175 with Saul Blinkoff. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. See, here's the thing about this show. We like to bring you people that you need to hear about. We like to show you different opportunities that you didn't know exist. Or perhaps, you know, you have an idea of doing something like this, which I think is super cool. Ladies and gentlemen, I have my guy, the one and only Saul Blinkoff on the show today. How's it going, man?
Hey, how you doing, Sean? So good to be here, man. So happy to be here.
Listen, I'm excited to get you on the show, man. You're somebody, and I came across you first. I stumbled across you on Clubhouse. I was on Clubhouse, and I'm like, yo, who's this guy with this amazing storytelling capability? I start tapping on your bio. I'm seeing, you know, Disney, DreamWorks, all these different things that you've worked on. But I always think it's important for our audience, right, to jump back, right, into the journey of how you got to where you are today. So for our listener right now who is scrolling through all the show notes, clicking on your Instagram bio, take us back to the young Saul growing up. Like, where are you from?
Do-do-do-do, take it back. Boo-do-boo-boo, we're going back. That's a song from Rocky, by the way, a little thing he sings. I'm from Northeast Philadelphia. I grew up on the East Coast. And, you know, look, everyone, it's a great thing to start with. I like that you're asking about where I came from, because all of us are living, you know, our own story. And we need to know that we have the responsibility and the ability to create our own story, you know? And mine begins in Northeast Philly. I was, and then ultimately New York. I really think I grew up mostly in New York because I moved there when I was 8. I came from divorced parents. My mom remarried when I was 8. We moved to New York, Long Island. And when I was in New York, you know, everybody I knew were doctors, lawyers, business people. You know, I didn't know any people in the creative field. And then I went to the movies and I saw the movie E.T. I remember I was 11 years old. And I'm looking up at the screen and I remember at the end of the movie, I tap my mom and I'm like, Mom, that's what I want to do someday. And she looks down at me and goes, what, you want to leave planet Earth in a spaceship? And I'm like, no, Mom, I want to be a filmmaker. And like I said, I grew up in New York. I didn't know any filmmakers. I didn't even know that was a job that you could do. All I knew, Sean, is when I looked up to that screen, it was something I wanted to do. I just had one problem. I had no idea how to do it. You know, so often I meet people and I ask them, what's your goal in life? What do you want to accomplish? You know, what do you want to do? And if you don't know what it is you want to do, you don't have that clarity, you don't know where to put your effort. Well, I didn't know how to become a director, a filmmaker. So I go to the library. And some of your listeners who are in their 20s probably have never been to a library because you have what's called the internet. But I grew up in a time, B.I., before internet. Yeah, no such thing as Wi-Fi, YouTube, there's no such thing as those things. I go to a building to find information. I find out the director of E.T., Steven Spielberg, made movies every weekend with kids in the neighborhood. So I went and got a film camera, got my twin sister, my brother, a year older, and every weekend I started making movies. I made murder movies, monster movies, a kidnap movie. One movie I tied my sister up to a tree really tight. I remember, Sean, we go inside to watch the movie. And my mom's like, I love the movie. Now, where's your sister? I'm like, well, she's still tied to the tree. What's wrong? My sister still tells that story. You know, when she was young, she's like, my brother tied me to a tree. But now that, you know, I'm a successful filmmaker, she's like, well, I was once tied to a tree by director Saul Blinkoff. You know, she loves that story now. So, you know, look, I knew I wanted to be a filmmaker. And then I get to high school. And in high school, somebody came up to me. It's a true story. Sophomore year. And they said, well, what are you going to do when you get out of high school? I said, well, I want to be a filmmaker. They said, no, you don't. I'm like, yeah, I do. They said, no, you don't, because if you want to be a filmmaker, you're going to have to move out to Hollywood. And Hollywood is filled with weirdos. They looked at me and said, you don't want to end up a weirdo, do you? And I said, no, I don't want to end up a weirdo. And I'm telling you right then and there, I gave up on my dream of wanting to be a filmmaker because one person told me I would end up a weirdo. Of course, today I do live in Hollywood, and my four kids would tell you daddy is a weirdo, so much for that. But at that point in my life, Sean, I was so impressionable. And I want all your listeners to take a moment right now and think about those major life decisions you've made or that you want to make in your life. And think about the influences around you and how so often in life we let people decide the trajectory of our story, of our goal, of how we live our lives. We let people, mentors, encourage us, support us. We also allow people to make us feel discouraged. At the end of the day, we need to believe in ourselves that the goal we have is the essence of who we are. Mm. And so at that point, I gave up on wanting to be a filmmaker. I was impressionable. My parents said, so what are you going to do? I said, I'll go back to drawing. Because truthfully, Sean, my first love was drawing. You know, all kids draw. There's not a kid in the world who doesn't color or draw.
Facts.
And it doesn't matter if you grow up rich or poor, you're going to find a way to make art. Kids love to express themselves with art. But then when they get about 10, 11 years old and social conscience starts to creep in, then they start to go, oh, that person's better. That person's better. You know, I'm not going to be an artist. I'm going to go back to sports. I'm going to go back to this or that. I'm not the artist because there's a kid in my class who's the best artist. So I'll let that person be the artist. But truthfully, all of us have the potential to tap into creativity. Whether we want to be artists or not, doesn't mean we have to be great painters. But to be able to create something, and I love drawing. My parents, incredibly supportive, got me an art teacher to come to our home. And every week she would teach me to draw from life. She said to me the first day, I will never forget, Sean. She said, Saul, drawing is about seeing. You have to develop your eye to notice the world. It's not about copying what's out there. It's about noticing what's out there, filtering it through your eye, and creating something that's never been created before. She was a great teacher. I remember like that first week I was drawing, and I was drawing a hand, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to draw that hand. And we're getting to the rest of the pose, and she's like, why aren't you drawing the hand? I'm like, well, because I'm not so good at drawing hands. She goes, well, we're going to remedy that. Here's your homework. Every night before you go to bed, you're going to draw a hand from a different position. Mm. That's exactly what I did. And you know what happened in 6 months? I got good at drawing hands because she knew and she taught me one of the greatest lessons in life. Know first, have clarity what your weakness is and realize that that weakness is the answer key to you growing. Turn your weakness into your strength. Don't shy away from it because you feel uncomfortable. Who wants to be uncomfortable? We don't want to face our weaknesses. By the way, it's the same thing in relationships. You know, if you're listening to this and you're in a relationship or you're married, every relationship takes work, and we know that we can always do better. We can always build ourselves better. If we know where our weakness is, maybe I have to work on humility. Maybe I have to work on this or listening better. How do we take weaknesses and turn them into our strengths? So this teacher taught me that. And then junior year in high school, I went to the movies again.
Uh-oh, what happened? What happened this time? Did you get ignited with a new hunger and a new passion? Like, what happened?
I see another movie that comes out junior year in high school, and it changes everything for me. I saw the movie The Little Mermaid. And when I saw that movie, you know, it was more than just a princess singing underwater. I saw animation that I just had never seen before. I saw this character animation of Ariel singing part of your world, and she wanted more. And there's one part in that movie, I'll never forget, I get goosebumps right now, where she goes, what's a fire and why does it, what's the word, burn? And when she says burn, she takes her hands, puts them over her chest, arches her back, closes her eyes, as if when she says burn, she's talking about the fire inside of her. And I remember watching that movie going, wow, I also want to know what's out there in the world. I related to her. And at that moment, I tapped my mom at the end. I remember the credits were rolling. I go, Mom, that's what I want to do someday. And she looks down at me. She's like, what? You want to fall in love with a fish? I'm like, no, Mom. I want to be an animator at Disney. So there I was, Sean, junior in high school. And Saul knows exactly what he wants to do. My dream was to become a Disney animator because it combined my two passions, my love of drawing and my love of filmmaking, put them together, animation. And plus, I found out that Disney has a studio in Orlando, Florida. I don't have to go out to LA to become a weirdo. So that beginning of my story shows you and your listeners how I came up with the clarity to what my goal was in life. And I'll tell you, you know, I really firmly believe this. that the most valuable thing that anyone will ever have in the world, think about all the things we have in the world that are value. Of course, money is value. You need money to live. And of course, health is important. You want to be healthy. But more important than all of those things, I think, is having clarity to what it is I'm living for. What is my goal in life? Because you can be incredibly wealthy and incredibly healthy and go through life aimlessly. You could live a life that's vapid with no meaning. You could live a life that you have no fire, you have no goal. You don't have that energy when you wake up in the morning. And that's why clarity and knowing what we're living for, just having clarity, is more important than money and even health. As I like to say simply, clarity or death. Mm. It's so important. So at that point, I was a junior, and I got it. I got clarity. I knew what I wanted to do.
Man, that's a powerful story, man. And I think about that. There's so many things we can break down here. And I think what's important to take note of is the people who make it in life, who make those huge leaps, who go after their dreams, there's like an insane amount of belief in oneself and not listening, right? Not listening to the person that's telling them, oh, you can't do this, right? You had that one person tell you, you can't do this, and it completely threw you off. And it took to your junior year to connect the dots and put it back together. What would you say to that listener right now who is hearing your story, that is asking themselves, you know, how can they overcome what other people are trying to, you know, put on them for their life? Like, what's Saul's advice for somebody who is trying to overcome that and truly find that belief they have in themselves?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I got to tell you, it's probably the hardest question I ever get asked. And I've asked it to people, you know, I host the podcast, and I've asked the same question because the answer is always different for everybody. I guess I'll say it like this. I'll tell you a moment in my life where I really was faced with that in the most dramatic way, okay? So, you know, when I knew I wanted to be a Disney animator, I didn't know how to do it. Okay, I didn't know how to become a Disney animator. You know, today you want to become a Disney animator, you go to a little thing called Google and you type in, how do you become a Disney animator? And you'll find out. Back then, like I said, BI, before internet. So my mom took me on a trip to Disney World. Not my older brother, not my sister, literally takes me from New York to Florida to Disney World and is walking me around Disney to find out how her son could become a Disney animator. We're getting on the It's a Small World boat ride. I still remember stepping on the boat and the Disney employee called a cast member. She's like, how many in your party? And I'm like, two. We're getting on the boat. My mom's like, by the way, my son wants to be a Disney animator. Can you help him? It was actually a little embarrassing, okay? And the lady's like, ma'am, this is a boat ride. You know, we don't hire animators here. But the lady finally says, she's like, look, if you want your son to work at Disney, everybody that works for Disney has to be interviewed at the Disney casting building. And it was 4 minutes away from where we were in Disney World. So we drive to this Disney office building right out of Alice in Wonderland.
Wow.
The doorknobs were made out of brass, and it looked like the doorknobs that talk in the movie Alice in Wonderland. I open up these doors. I stand in this atrium, and there's gold statues of Mickey, Donald, Pluto, Goofy. Even the air in that room, that atrium, was like Disney air, like pixie dust in the air. I walk up this ramp, and there's Peter Pan and Wendy painted on the ceiling. I'm finally there for the interview. The lady's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, my dream is to be a Disney animator. She goes, well, we don't hire those. I'm like, well, who do you hire? She goes, we hire people that work the rides in the park. I'm like, oh, that's not my goal.
Not the same.
She goes, well, not the same. And she goes, well, hold on a sec. She walks out, comes back in 2 minutes later, hands me a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, by the way, which was the most important and valuable piece of paper I ever held in my hands, that piece of paper was a list of eight art schools that Disney recruits their artists from. She said, if you want to be a Disney animator, you need to go to one of these schools. Boom. Mm. That was it. That was the equation I was looking for. You see, first, as I shared earlier, I had the clarity to what my goal was. But the next thing I needed to figure out was now how to accomplish it. You know, you go to a great restaurant, you taste an unbelievable dessert, you want to make creme brulee at home, you could do it if you have the recipe. Well, that's what that piece of paper was. It was the recipe. And basically in my head, Sean, it was an equation. Saul plus go to one of these eight schools will equal dream becoming a Disney animator. And for all of you listening who are lucky enough to have a goal, now you need to know how to accomplish it. By the way, Every single week, I get an email, a text, a DM, a phone call. Somebody tracks me down, and they'll be like, oh, my dream is to become a voiceover in a Disney movie. It's always been my dream. I want to sing. I want to do a voice for a Disney movie. It's been my dream my whole life. So I say to them, okay, what have you done to make that dream real? They'd be like, well, nothing, because I don't know how to do it. I'm like, you're 26 years old, and you don't know how to do it? Why don't you put at least an hour's worth of effort into figuring out how to accomplish it? Go to the internet.
Yep.
Type in, how do you become a voiceover? Or you know what? How about this? Go to every Disney movie that's been made or every animation movie that's been made in the last year or 5 years. Get a list of every actor that's been in there and track them down. Go look online and find out how they did it. Stand on the shoulders of everyone that's done it before you. Don't tell me it's your dream and you haven't made an effort for even a minute, right? We need to find out how to accomplish. So the woman gives me the list of those 8 schools. And I remember going to each of these schools with my mom. She took me on a trip all over the United States to each of these art schools. And I get to one school in Ohio, Columbus College of Art and Design. And I'm walking the halls of this school. And I'm telling you, Sean, the artwork on the halls, hanging on that wall,
wow,
was 100 times better than anything I could ever draw. That's for sure. 100 times better. And I felt intimidated. And I remember thinking, why would I want to go to a school where I would be the worst one there? Why would you want to step on the court and play ball if you know that you're the worst one there? And, you know, look, I have a theory. You know, I don't care if you're 2 years old. I don't care if you're 120 years old. Wherever you're from in the world, every single person on the planet actually wants the exact same thing. We all want greatness. We all want a taste of the greatest life imaginable. How do you get it? Look, you know, my hero in the 90s was MJ, number 23. I hope I don't offend anybody, because you have to be so careful what you say in this topic, but I hope I don't offend anybody. I hope I don't offend any LeBron fans, but MJ, in my opinion, is the GOAT. Michael Jordan, greatest of all time. Okay. Period. Are you with me on that, Sean? Or you're gonna fight me on that?
Yeah.
Are you
six
Kobe
rings.
Guy? I see you have a Kobe book over there.
Yeah, Kobe's is strong too. Kobe's is strong too. But
by the way, Kobe would tell you MJ is the GOAT. Just
absolutely, like, absolutely, he would.
I mean, he learned it all from MJ. You know? And by the way, Kobe's the finest. I mean, he had the greatest mentality. I mean, the Mamba mentality was, find those people that are great and learn from him. He's just amazing. Yep. We could talk about Kobe all day. But MJ, growing up in the 90s, he was playing the game, first year in the NBA, steps off the court, and a sports writer comes up to him. It's a true story. And says, MJ, you're great, man. You're a scoring machine. But you know what? Your defense, it's not so strong. You know what Michael could have said to the guy? Dude, I just made $1 million playing basketball. I'm going to listen to you. I got Air Jordan sneakers all over the world. People have my posters everywhere. I mean, he thought one thing. If something I'm doing is giving this guy the perception that I don't have a good defensive game, I guess I better work harder on defense. And he did. And next year in the NBA, one player was named Defensive Player of the Year, number 23, MJ. You know why? Because he had that attitude I spoke about earlier of how you take your weaknesses, turn them into strengths. See, everybody wants to be great. And I knew that when I looked at the artwork on the walls of this school, that I would be the worst one at the school. And that's why I chose the school. Because I thought, you know what? If I choose a school like this where I would be the worst one and they're all better than me, then just being in that environment, I'll get better. So I chose the school. And thank God they chose me. And I remember going to school the first week. And they put up a poster. And it said, a representative from the Walt Disney Studios is coming to our school. And they're going to do a presentation for those of you interested in careers at Disney Animation. So, of course, I was interested. And I end up walking into the auditorium, and it's filled with 750 students, every freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. And the guy from Disney stands on stage. He was one of the original animators from the 50s on Sleeping Beauty, had a big white beard. He was friends with Walt Disney. Incredible. His name was Bill Matthews. And he stands on that stage. He looks out to us and he says, before I start, let me just see a show of hands. How many of you want to be Disney animators? Every hand went up.
Wow.
750 students in that room. I will never forget it. I see it clearly. And he goes, let me just tell you guys, out of the 750 of you, maybe just maybe four of you will ever work there. That's how competitive it is.
That's crazy.
And when he said that, I thought one thing. I wonder who the other three are going to be. Because in life, you either believe in yourself that you can accomplish or you don't. And let me tell you what I mean. I don't mean what you post on Facebook or Instagram, what you tell people. I mean, deep down, when you're alone in the dark, when you put your head on the pillow and you think about the dreams that you have, do you really believe that you can accomplish? You know, watch any Netflix documentary on Michael Jordan or anybody that's done something great, anybody. And there's one common thing in their minds. There's one common character trait they have. They have 100% belief in themselves that they can accomplish. Where does it come from? That's the question Sean asked. Where does that belief come from? Well, part of it came from my parents supporting me or friends of mine supporting me. But by the way, there's many people that accomplish great things and their parents don't believe in them. And they don't have any friends that believe in them. Because I said earlier, we have to find that belief in ourselves. So where does it come from? It comes from one thing. It's a phrase that I say to my kids a lot. And I say it to myself a lot. Just because something is not probable doesn't mean it's not possible. Mm. You know, it's that great scene in Dumb and
say
Dumber.
Say it again, Saul. Say it again.
Let me say it again. Just because something seems not probable doesn't mean it's not possible. Mm. You know, there's that scene in Dumb and Dumber when Jim Carrey, this nerdy guy, is like, he has the hots for this cute girl. And he's like following her the whole movie. Finally, there's this confrontation where he says to her, so let me just ask you, he says to her, what are the chances that you and I are going to end up together? She's like, you and me end up together? How about like one in a gajillion?
Yeah.
And he looks at her and he smiles and he goes, so you're saying there's a chance, right? Like he has belief in himself. Where does it come from? And it only comes from one thing. We need to know that nobody wakes up great at anything. You want to know the clearest idea to help you really motivate and believe in yourself? So often in life, we think that people around us are great. The Michael Jordans of the world. How can I compete with them? They're all on another level. If you go deep into their stories, you will find out they weren't always at that level. They started on a ground plane just like you. You want to believe in yourself? Look around at great people doing great things and see that they climbed the ladder and you're starting the same way they did. You're starting at the bottom of the ladder. Of course you can't be up there. You can't fly. But you know what you can do? After you have the clarity that you want to get up there, just look down and say, you know what? I can actually take one step. And after you take that one step, you go, you know what? I actually can take another step. And if you focus, after you know which the right ladder you want to be on, one step at a time, you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, I just went up 10 feet. How did that happen?
Yep.
And guess what? We've all done it before. If you know how to walk, you've already accomplished failure. Because you fell down the first time, you got right back up. Look in your life, right? We've all been through some experience where we've seen that we can grow. So once you get that clarity and you find out how to accomplish something, now's the time to have ironclad focus, believe in yourself. And when I heard that guy say, you know what? You guys, I'm going to pick four of you maybe out of the next couple of years. I believed in myself. And I will tell you, Sean, and this is a fact. This is a fact. I was one of the worst artists in the school at that time. Mm. Absolutely one of the worst, but nobody. And I mean, nobody was going to outwork me. And I worked really hard and had a lot of rejection along the way, man. It wasn't easy.
That's so powerful listening to your story, man. And just listening that way, you're able to kind of like paint the picture for our audience right now that's truly thinking about everything you're saying. You know, you've worked on a lot of projects. I can only imagine when you think about it, you look back at the work you have accomplished. Like, what's been one of those, you know, favorite projects or what's been one of those things where you walked away and you're like, yo, that turned out even more better than I could ever imagine?
Wow. Dude, you're asking such good stuff. Wow. I would have to say of all the projects that I've been honored to work on and great people on the way, I'm going to go with Pocahontas. And I'll tell you why. Because that was the first movie that I worked on. And, you know, that guy who came to our school, after he told us how competitive it was, he actually told us that the next couple movies that Disney was working on. So I remember him saying they're working on a movie, Beauty and the Beast. And I knew about that because I had read it in some magazine. And he says, and after that, we're working on this movie, Aladdin. And I knew about that, but I didn't know. I didn't know they were working on Lion King. And I didn't know about Pocahontas. Then he gets up and he goes, but now I'm going to show you guys, just you guys, a video clip from a movie that we're going to, that's going to come out in like 4 years. We have one scene. It's not even animated. It's just storyboard. It's just drawn with some of the voices, just to let you hear one song. And it was called Colors of the Wind. And he plays this video. And I remember him playing it and him saying, maybe some of you someday might work on this movie, because it takes 4 years to make a movie.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I was pumped. I leave that room, and I remember walking around the dorm, and I you know, when you go to school, you're meeting people, you're socializing. And I went to this party, and, you know, because I was a guy trying to meet girls, and that's what you do, you know? And I went to this party, and I'm seeing in the corner at this party, I see this cute girl, and I see next to her, this guy has a sketchbook, and he's doing a drawing of her. Okay, I'm like, wow, that's a good pickup line.
That's a good pickup. That's different. You know what I mean? That's different,
right? But then I see his sketchbook, and he's got like 100 drawings of people all throughout the party—guys, girls. He's drawn everything. Mm. So I go over to him and I say to him, "What class is this for?" He goes, "It's not for a class." I'm like, "So why are you drawing this?" He looks at me and he says, "Listen to this." He says, because I want to get better.
Mm.
Boom. Yeah, right? It wasn't for a class. How often in life do we just wait for the teacher or the boss to give us the project to work on? Then how many of us are motivated ourselves because we have our own standard to live by?
Hey, guys. So let me take a guess. You're enjoying the show. And if that's right, please make sure that you take a screenshot of you listening to the podcast right now and tag me at SeanRAnthony_. I promise you this is going to help in amazing ways. And while you're at it, hit the 5-star rating and subscribe. With that being said, guys, let's get back to the show.
By the way, Kobe Bryant did that.
Yep.
This guy wasn't competing with anyone but himself. He wanted to be the best Kobe he could be. And it was incredible to me that this guy was working. He became my best friend. His name was Andy. And Andy, by far, was the greatest artist in the school because the guy never stopped drawing. And I want to tell you, Sean, and all your listeners, just me being friends with a guy like this made me a better artist. Because who we choose to hang out with actually affects who we become. Such an important point. Listen carefully, everyone listening. I want you to take a minute right now and think about your social circle. I don't mean for thousands of friends on Facebook or Instagram. I mean, go into your inner circle. The people you surround yourself with daily, whether it's your family or your bestie, your spouse, whoever it is, because the people we surround ourselves with actually affect who we become. We need to surround ourselves with people that have the values that we respect. And it's the same thing if you're listening, you're a parent, you know that. You know, if you have, you're raising your kids, you don't want your kid hanging out with someone that's not a good influence.
Yeah.
Guess what? As adults, we get influenced also. I just interviewed on my podcast a week ago an incredible man. His name is Tim Story. You probably know him.
Yeah, he's been on the show. We love Tim. He's been,
has
on,
he
the
been
podcast.
On the show.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, man. So he's, and for those of you who don't know, check out the episode that Sean did and check out my episode on Tim. Incredible guy. The guy's a life coach for Oprah, Robert Downey Jr., Smokey
Kanye
Robinson,
West. Amazing.
Kanye West. Yeah, I mean, the list goes on and on. So I asked Tim this question. I said, Tim, what's the number one thing that you find that celebrities, that world that you're in, that makes them either great or that they need to learn? Like, what's the struggle that celebrities, that famous people have? And he goes, you know what it is, Saul? It's one thing. When I meet with a celebrity and I find out about their life, the ones that are doing well in life, it's their inner circle. That's it. It's like, who do they surround themselves with? Who's in their entourage? And those ones that you see that are on drugs or they're in rehab and they're just, their lives are falling apart. Yeah. They just can't get it together. Look at their inner circle and you see the difference and you know why. And I can tell you guys, Andy was an incredible influence on me. So sophomore year comes, Andy and I get our drawings together. And actually sophomore year, I sent my portfolio in myself because I just wanted to go through the process. And Disney sends me a letter a month later. Saul, thanks for sending your portfolio in, but you know, we don't have, you're not there. So I got rejected. I didn't even care. Look, I said I didn't expect to get in the first time trying. I was happy that the Disney company knew I was alive. They had my name printed on a Disney envelope with a gold Mickey. I put that up over my desk in my dorm. People were coming in, like, wow, blink off. The Disney knows you're alive. It was so cool. Next year, junior year, Andy and I sent our portfolios in together. And at this point, everybody knew that Andy and I were going to get in. It was obvious because we never stopped drawing. And I want to tell you, I remember one day I went to the zoo, Columbus Zoo. It was a freezing, bitter cold day. And you know, Disney said in their portfolio, by the way, they don't want to see any drawings of cartoon characters, only drawings of figures, people, and animals done from life. It's called life drawing. Figure drawing and anatomy. They want to see you draw people from life, whether it's the nude model or people at a restaurant or a bus stop, just capturing the world around you, drawing humans and animals from life. So we go to the zoo. And, you know, when you guys watch a movie like Lion King, how do you think people, animators, know how to draw elephants and stuff? You don't just wake up one day and know how to draw an elephant. You got to study elephant anatomy for 100 hours. So we go to the zoo with like 15 students for class, freezing cold day. And by the way, anyone listening to this episode right now, you can forget everything I've said up until now. Nothing you're going to hear is as important as I'm about to share with you right now as far as the secret to success in all things. Check out this story. We get to the zoo, freezing day. So we all go into this Wendy's cafe. We get the hot chocolate and the coffee, and the guys are flirting with the girls are flirting with the guys. After about 5 minutes, Andy and I go, okay, let's go draw. So we go out there, and there's the elephants area, and this elephant's walking back and forth, and it's the best thing. When you're studying animation, you want to see, like, emotion repeated. So we're doing drawings of that elephant walk back and forth, and it's freezing, okay? Afterwards, we get all our drawings together. An hour goes by. Hour goes by like nothing because we were just having so much fun drawing. Get back on the bus. And I remember get back on the bus, and we say to this one guy, like, hey, Dad, we never saw you guys near the elephants. Where were you? What animals were you guys drawing? This one guy looks to me, and he says, you know what? None of us ever left the Wendy's. He was laughing. He was like, dude, we stayed in there the whole time. The teacher didn't even know. And I said to him, wait a minute. I thought you said your dream was to be a Disney animator. Disney says draw animals, and you stayed in the Wendy's? You stayed in the Wendy's flirting, and you think that's good? Why didn't you go out? And this is what he said. He goes, we couldn't leave. I said, why not? He goes, because it was too cold.
Wow.
Boom. Too cold. You know what that means? It was too painful. You see, so often in life, you'll meet people and they'll tell everybody what their dream is. But when push comes to shove, are they really invested in going through struggle? Because if you see a documentary on anybody great in the world, you know, the other quality they all have, they push through the pain. Not only that, and here's a great tool to walk away with. If we have the expectations that life is going to be painful, then we are motivated to accomplish. It energizes us. If you know you're in a relationship, that relationships take work, then when someone gets into an argument, you can deal with it. You're not going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're fighting. You think at the end of a Disney movie, like the married couple, Cinderella and Prince whoever, go off into a castle, they don't have an argument? They do. It's called life. And if you have expectations that something is going to be difficult, you feel empowered to accomplish. And I will never forget when that guy said that to me, I was like, oh, I know Andy and I are going to get in because we've already outworked everybody because we draw more. But also, it's a mind thing. It's a mindset. That's it. You know what made Michael Jordan Michael Jordan? It's a mindset. Right. It's a mindset. It's all about a mindset. It's how do I approach the day, the hour, the minute? So Andy and I get our portfolios together. We send them into Disney. A month later, I was home in New York. I get a call from Andy. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? He's like, Blinkoff, did you hear? I'm like, no, did you? He goes, yeah. I go, what'd you hear? He goes, I got it. I said, you got what? He goes, I got the internship at Disney. I'm like, oh my gosh, congratulations. That's amazing. He goes, but you didn't hear? I'm like, no, but they could be trying to call me right now. I got to hang up. We didn't have call waiting back then, right? So I hang up the phone. I'm pacing in my dining room. And I remember my mom came in at that moment. She's like, honey, what happened? I'm like, mommy, and he just got a call from Disney. He got the internship. She's like, amazing. They're going to call you next. And the phone doesn't ring. Mm. I'm like, wait a minute. It's alphabetical, right? My last name begins with the letter B. His last name begins with the letter H. Shouldn't they have called me first? I can't stand it. I call up Disney anyway. That's right. I called up the head of Disney myself. Who does that? Well, I did. You know why I did it? Because when there's something you want in your life, you will do anything to get it. Look, I told you about my love of Michael Jordan. When I was about 13, 14 years old, I was at Madison Square Garden. And before the game, MJ was standing on the court, and he had those breakaway pants, you know. And I was standing next to the court. My older brother was next to me. I said, Jay, I'm going to go meet Michael Jordan right now. My brother's like, you're not going to go. Before he could finish that sentence, I walked out on the court. I'm looking up to number 23, and I said to him, hi, Mr. Jordan. And he looked down at me and said, quote, yo, how you doing? End quote. And he shook my hand, which I still have never washed.
That's crazy.
But the reason I walked out there is because when there's something you want in your life, you will do anything to get it. You know, I'm sharing a lot of ideas to your audience of things that have helped motivate me. And these are all tools. And if those of you who are listening to this episode, you should be writing stuff down. You should be writing something
Absolutely.
Down or start it over and write it down. If you hear wisdom from anyone, from a book, a TED Talk, a podcast, you know, Sean says something and you love it, you need to write it down and get yourself in front of it day in and day out. And this is a great line to remember in your life. When there's something you want in your life, you will do anything, underline anything, to get it. So I called up the head of Disney. I'm like, hey, this is Saul Blinkoff. I want to find out about the internship. He's like, oh, Saul, I have your name on a list here. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, you didn't make it. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, you didn't make it. I said, well, what about Andy? He goes, yeah, he got the internship. You didn't. I was like, oh, all right, thank you. I hung up the phone, and I'm telling you, Sean, that was one of the most bittersweet moments of my entire life. It was sweet because I was happy for my best friend. It was bitter because my dream was over in my head. It was shattered. And I went back to Columbus, Ohio. It was wintertime. And, you know, Andy's going to Disney World. They call Disney World the happiest place on earth. It's always sunny and beautiful there. I'm going back to Ohio in the wintertime, what I thought was the most depressing place on earth. And when I get to school, I'm walking the halls and people are coming up to me like, Blinkoff, what are you doing here? I thought you would have gotten in. Oh, you didn't make it. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, where's Andy? Oh, he got in. You did. I became known as the guy that was friends with the guy.
Oh, man.
I became known as the guy that didn't get what he really, really wanted. And I felt like a loser. And it was one of the hardest times of my life. I was just wallowing in self-pity and rejection. And then I came up with the most brilliant way to take that feeling away. And for anybody listening, if you've ever had something that you wanted to accomplish and you feel like a loser because you're failing and failing, I did, and that feeling of being a failure will go away in a second. You know what I did?
What's that?
I gave up.
Right.
I gave up. I gave up on the entire dream. That's it. Because reality set in. Reality was Andy was an awesome artist. He was a Tiger Woods. He was amazing, and I was just average. And remember, you asked me earlier about, you know, those times you believe in yourself.
Yep.
Well, this is the point where I didn't believe in myself anymore. And that fire was extinguished. Because most people believe in themselves when they look around and see other people who are accomplishing great things and realize how they started just like me. But when people don't believe in themselves, when they focus on the accomplishments of others and think that that person was born great and I'm not, so how could I ever get there? It's impossible. I gave up. My dream was shattered. A week later, buddy calls me up and says, Saul, I got tickets to go see a movie. You want to go? I'm like, nah. He's like, but they're free. I'm like, okay, I'll go. So, you know, when you're in college, someone offers you free, you basically take it. So,
absolutely.
So, Sean, I go to the movies and I see a third movie that changes my life, right?
Uh-oh.
First it was E.T. Yeah,
you,
here we
you
go.
You in the movies.
It was the movie, right? Then it was Little Mermaid. And now I see a movie. This movie is a true story. It's just incredible. I think about just telling you this right now. I remember, like, why does a certain movie come out at a certain time for what a person needs to see? Like, it was incredible. Yeah. Like, God obviously runs the world and Hollywood. So I see this movie, and this movie is a true story about a guy who's 5 feet tall. He doesn't have an ounce of athletic ability. And his dream is to play football at Notre Dame. What movie is it, Sean?
Oh, that's definitely sounds like that guy, Rudy.
Boom. You got it. It's the real life story of Rudy Rudiger. And by the way, you know whose favorite movie Rudy was?
Who was it?
Kobe.
Ah, I see. He's a smart man.
You can go check it up online. You can see there's a video of Kobe saying that when he saw that movie as a young kid, it motivated him. Isn't that incredible?
That's crazy.
Got to meet Rudy once also. He tells a story about that. So I see the movie Rudy, and tears are streaming down my face. Because first of all, if you were friends with Rudy and he told you his dream was to play football at Notre Dame, you would have been like, dude, I love you, but get a new dream.
Yep.
Rudy was like, oh, yeah? Well, we'll see about that. He tries to get in, rejected. Second time, rejected. Third time, rejected. But fourth time,
got in.
You know, if you look at the movie poster for the movie Rudy, it says, when people tell you dreams don't come true, tell them about Rudy.
Yep.
He gets in. And tears are streaming down my face, Sean, because I'm thinking one thing. If an unathletic guy could get into Notre Dame with an insane amount of hard work, then me, what I thought was an untalented artist, could get into Disney with an insane amount of hard work. And I decided right then and there I would never give up again. So I got my portfolio together. And man, I worked hard on that portfolio. Went to the zoo. I drew my hand. I drew the figure. Drawing after drawing, I send in that portfolio, and I got a call a month later. It was Andy on the phone. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? He's like, Blinkoff, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, what am I not going to believe? He's like, dude, they just built a basketball court just for Disney animators. You deserve to play on that court. I'm like, thanks, man. He goes, you know what else they did? I'm like, what? He goes, they built a brand new wing on the animation studio for the next interns. I'm like, really? Mm. And he goes, dude, you deserve to be in there. I'm like, thank you. He goes, but there is one more thing. I said, what? He goes, they put up a list of the next interns. I'm like, yeah, and he goes, you're on the list.
Oh, man.
Like, what? He goes, dude, you did it. I'm like, what? I'm like, thank you. He's like, what are you thanking me for? You did it. I hang up. I go over to my tape player. A lot of you guys don't know what tapes are. They play. Okay. And at the top of my lungs, it's the circle of life and it moves us. So I'm like singing Disney music. Like, people are like putting their heads inside my dorm room, like, Blinkoff, what happened? Like, I got it. They couldn't believe. I call my parents. My mom is in tears. I got my dream. And I go on the internship, happiest place on earth. I walk in there that first day, and there's an animation room of like 15 desks. And in the corner's a desk with my name, Saul Blinkoff, kid from New York. Kid who was 11 years old, in 11th grade, sees The Little Mermaid and has a dream to become a Disney animator. And the thing that you guys want to remember is I did not wake up great. I was the worst artist in my school. But I'm telling you, after ups and downs, I put everything I had into that goal. And to answer your question, Sean, what's the best project I ever work with? What's the most meaningful for me? It's not like, oh, look what I can show all my friends. Look, I got my name. I'm famous, which I'm not. No one knows the credits of any movie unless your name is Spielberg or some big actor, you know, Denzel. Other than that, nobody cares who's behind the camera or who draws anything. But I'm telling you and I'm telling your listeners that when I saw that accomplishment, it reminded me of all the ups, the downs, the struggle, the sacrifice, the mentors I've had. You know, there's so many more stories I could share with you. There's so many mentors I had along the way, and all of that played into when I saw the accomplishment. And just so you know, also, starting on Pocahontas, that was the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had lots of ups and downs in my career. I've had a successful career, and the only reason I say it's called successful is because I'm still doing it.
Yep.
And I still love it, you know? And my career's had a lot of ups and downs. I've worked with some fantastic people, and I've worked with some terrible people. By the way, I should tell all of you, check out my podcast. It's Life of Awesome. And the very first guest I ever interviewed on my podcast is Rudy Rudiger.
That's crazy.
I asked him to be on my podcast, and he shares his story. And I also tell him in there what his story meant to me. And that was just such an honor for me to have him. But that was really the film. I mean, I've worked on lots of fun stuff. Doc McStuffins was a great show that I was a director on. That was just a great show, and it broke a lot of stereotypes and really changed the world in some amazing ways. And I worked with Winnie the Pooh characters and lots of great stuff along the way. But Pocahontas would have to be my favorite.
Man, I mean, talk about a movie, right? That's a classic. Listen, Saul, I have to ask you the question. You came on the podcast and gave tremendous value from the storytelling capabilities of just your life and how you got to where you are today. But I have to ask you the question we've asked every single person who's ever been on the show, who's ever been on this podcast. And that is, if you were that person asking yourself the question of the show, school's over, now what? What advice would Saul give?
Oh, that's so easy. That's so easy for me. Here's my advice. The advice I'm going to give is going to be, first of all, school's over, now what? I'm going to share what I think a person should do, but I'm also going to tell you what I think a person should do when school's not over, when you're in school, meaning every day of our lives. Let me say it like this. You know, most people go through life, and if you ask everyone, what's your goal out there? People are going to tell you, you know, my goal in life is to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. But truth is that what makes a person happy may not be what's good for them. Think about how many people there are happy, but they're not doing things that are really good for them or for the world. You know, you look at the movie Lion King. Let's talk about Disney for a second. Look at that movie. You know, Simba is young and he knows he's going to be king someday. And he thinks being a king is, I can do whatever I want. You know, he sings about, I just can't wait to be king, right? Oh my gosh, I'm going to be able. And Mufasa, his dad, is like, Simba, there's more to being a king than getting your way all the time. Simba's like, there's more. He thinks leadership, greatness is, I should be able to do whatever it is I want to do. And then something happens to Daddy. Hopefully everyone's seen the movie by now. I'm not spoiling anything. Spoiler alert. Daddy dies. Yep. Okay. And Simba thinks it's his fault. He goes off into Hakuna Matata world. Remember Hakuna Matata? Hakuna.
Right? What a wonderful day.
What a wonderful. Right, exactly. So he goes off there. And Hakuna Matata world is like beautiful. It's like the Garden of Eden. There's waterfalls and flowers. He's sitting on the hammock. And he grows up in that life with Pumbaa and Timon. He's got everything seemingly that someone should want. Halfway through the movie, somebody shows up. Sean, I'm testing you on your Disney knowledge. Who shows up halfway through the movie to see him? Do you remember?
Oh, man, it's his girl, man.
Nala. That's right. Exactly. But Nala, she ain't no girl no more. She's all grown up now. She's got the big eyelashes, and they're singing their song, Can You Feel the Love Tonight, right? They're rolling around. They're about to kiss. We always cover our kids' eyes when they're about to kiss. It's a little strange. So they're rolling around in the sunset. It's beautiful. They're in love. Everything's good. Then after they have their little moment, she goes, Simba, you got to come back with me.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean? She's like, no, you got to come back with me. Scar's taken over everything. He's like, no, I'm staying here. Hakuna Matata. She's like, well, maybe I didn't make myself clear. Let me say it like this. Scar's taken over everything. And if you don't come back, everyone's going to die. And you are responsible.
Yep.
He's like, whoa. She's like, you know what? He's like, hey, you know what? You're beginning to sound like my dad. She goes, at least one of us does. And you know what she does? She leaves. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. A minute earlier, you were rolling around with them. Your sunset. Can you feel the love? But now you're leaving? Because she knows the essence of a person's greatness is, are they waking up and thinking, how do I get the most in life for me? Or am I waking up with the goal to take responsibility for others and ultimately taking responsibility for the world? She leaves. He's left alone. Rafiki comes, hits him in the head. Simba sees Mufasa's reflection. He sees in the stars, remember who you are, right? Yeah. And Simba decides, you know what? Maybe I should go back. He goes back, defeats Scar, and Lion King becomes the biggest animated movie of all time, BF, before Frozen.
Yep.
And it's not that we love that movie because, oh, we just love movies about lions. We just love that. No, we love that movie because when Simba climbs Pride Rock at the end and you hear the powerful music, we're seeing a movie about who we are trying to be. We're seeing a movie about greatness.
Yep.
And there's one idea that in my opinion, makes true greatness. There's one idea that if you want to wake up every day and go for a life of happiness, your life's going to go ups and downs. But there's another goal that's, I think, even loftier than a goal for happiness. Don't wake up every day and say, what can I do to make myself happy? It's what can I do to bring myself a life of meaning, to have my life matter. And it comes from one thing, the word responsibility. That's it. It's how do I look at the day? Do I wake up and I have the goal that I want to take responsibility for the world? That doesn't mean just responsibility for my family or my friends or my community or my job, but the world. And how do I take responsibility for the world? And here's the tool I want to give your listeners. It's wherever in life we have the ability to respond. You see, responsibility is the ability to respond. So waking up every day and saying, how can I make a difference? You know, somebody needs a parking spot and they don't see it. You can wave them in. Yeah. You lose a little bit of your own time, but you just helped another person. You know, I remember getting on a flight once and I wanted the seat near the window because I was flying to go speak at like a university on the East Coast that I travel and speak a lot. I needed to sit near the window because I needed to sleep on the flight because when I was landing, I was giving a talk.
Yeah.
And when I get to the airline and I get to the gate, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we have you sitting in the middle. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. Can you at least move me anywhere? Like, we have no windows anywhere, but we do have an aisle we can give you in another row. I'm like, all right, I'll take the aisle. So they give me the aisle and I go to that aisle seat and I'm sitting there. The whole plane's filling up and the entire plane fills up. They close the door. The flight attendant starts talking, going through the rundown with oxygen and all that. And I notice next to me, the middle seat is totally empty and the window seat is totally empty. They gave me the whole row. Man. That's insane. That's incredible. Like they told me they had nothing for me. Now I get the whole row and the entire flight is filled, every seat except for my whole row. Think about the story I could have had to tell my wife and kids when I land. Guys, when I land, oh, this is incredible. Look what happened to Daddy. Look how I had to have the greatest life. I mean, I get the whole row. But what I didn't tell you, Sean, is when I got on the plane, I actually noticed this woman who had like two or three kids traveling alone, having a struggle. And she was sitting there. And I remember sitting next to her was this Latina woman and her husband. And they were frustrated. They were sitting next to this woman with all these kids and she was passing them around and like changing diapers. And I had these two seats next to me. So I get up and I go to the front of the plane. I say to this Latina woman and her husband, I'm like, you know what? I should tell you, I actually have a couple extra seats next to me if you want to come back. She ran back there with her husband and was so grateful. Now the woman with her kids had more room to spread out in the front.
Wow.
And this Latina woman and her husband could now sit there. Now look, I did take the window. I'm not crazy. I gave them the middle seat in the aisle next to me. You know what? I got up and yes, even though I lost a little bit of room for myself, I was able to help another person. That's what I mean by the ability to respond, to go through every day and see how can I impact another person? Because when we do that, we truly will have a life that's awesome. And that's what I think that people should keep in their minds. As you're figuring out school's over now, what? Wake up and say, where do I have the ability to make a difference, to serve humanity?
Hey. Powerful, man. Powerful episode. powerful right. Thought process to kind of leave our listeners on. Right now, people have been enjoying this episode, man. They've gotten so many gems of wisdom from you. Just let us know where exactly can we find out more information about you, more information about projects that you're working on. Just leave us all your information so our audience and our listeners can stay in touch.
Appreciate that, Sean. So check out my website, saulblinkoff.com. And there's a lot. There's all the links to the podcast. The podcast I host is called Life of Awesome. Some episodes are interviews. Some is just me. Comes out weekly. And I got to tell you guys, and I'm also on Instagram. Please follow me on Instagram. I put quotes and motivation that people inspire me with. And I put my own quotes and video and all kinds of fun stuff. But I got to tell you, if you're new to my podcast, check out what I think is the greatest interview I have ever done. And will ever do because it's with the greatest human that I have ever spoke to. It totally changed me. It moved me. It inspired me. This man is so much more than most people will ever know. He is none other than the two-time heavyweight champion of the world and grill king, Big George Foreman. Check out that episode. And I'm not going to give anything away, but when you hear that episode, you'll hear, especially towards the end, I discovered something about his life that you will never hear in a documentary. His kids didn't even know about it. I talked to his daughter. She didn't even know about it. And George will never speak about it. He didn't speak about it either because he's way too humble. He will never tell you. But I went and discovered, after looking at a gajillion hours of footage of his life and his fights, I found something miraculous about this man that changed me forever. Check out that episode, Big George Foreman.
Oh, man, that's a bomb and a great way to kind of end this thing. Listen, Saul, I appreciate you, man, and much more to come. And for those of you guys that have been listening, I want you to always remember, dream it, believe it, go out and get it. Yo, what you think? I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I want to know what you learned. So if you wouldn't mind, would you take a screenshot of you listening to the podcast on your phone right now? Upload to your Instagram stories, tag me at SeanRAnthony_, and then let me know in that Instagram story what is one thing that you learned. I love hearing from you, my listeners, thought leaders, former or current students all around the world. Let me know, and while you're doing this, go inside the podcast app, subscribe, leave a 5-star review and a 5-star rating. Again, this helps us reach more people. And if you want to be a part of this mission, helping us change the world one person at a time, it makes a massive difference by you leaving a review. Thanks so much. I'll see you next week. And remember, dream it, believe it, go out and get it.